Welcome on in a Wednesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. Back to all things football today. There's plenty to talk about. We still haven't really fully fleshed out our thoughts on Tommy DeVito leaving, that big bomb that dropped on Sunday night. We'll talk about that, what his legacy is at Cuse, some of Dino Babers' comments in the press conference saying basically what Tommy DeVito meant to him and basically what's next for Syracuse as we look at also going to get into some of Dino Babers' thoughts on how he handles his fourth down decisions that have been highly scrutinized this year. Our thoughts on his approach to all of it and the analytics behind it and everything like that. That's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we thank you very much for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday, and this is a great week to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're free and available wherever you get pods, also on YouTube. Also check us out on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. This is maybe the busiest week we've had.
Is this the biggest week we've had since literally our first week when it was your Johnson commitment, rest in peace, they may it be, and then Bryson Goodine hit the game winner. Something else happened.
Oh, God.
Was that the woman?
I mean, all that stuff is was that even a thing? Bryson Goodine at Syracuse? How did that even happen? That feels like 8 years ago. But yeah, that might
be another reason why you should not have five-man classes. Another reason why.
Yeah, for anyone that missed our discussion, maybe we'll have another heated debate today because that was fun. I love it when we disagree. It doesn't happen a lot on the show. We've been disagreeing a little bit on Tommy DeVito, Garrett Trader, so we'll see how that goes today. But let's start talking about DeVito, and just we didn't really get to talk a lot about this decision and what it means. And I think right off the bat, it's a little interesting at first that he did it in the middle of the season. I know a lot of people had comments about that, like what he's not preserving any eligibility. Why would he do it right now? But I think in his trainer did a good job of laying this out to Stephen Bailey. There was a good article. Also, the Daily Orange talked to his trainer. Mm-hmm. Basically, what I learned from those two conversations was, clearly, this Clemson thing, as we hit it on the head, and I think everyone did, was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. It's very clear that he was sitting there like, all right, if I'm not playing against Clemson, everything was aligned for me to come in that game. It's just not meant to be this year. I'm going to move on. But his trainer brought up a good point to Stephen Bailey, and he said, if you do it now, he can actually get on the market. And it seems like his trainer said he's had some Power 5 looks. And he could do some visits. I'm looking at Taj Harris just announced something last night that he's going to take a visit to Ole Miss and do an official visit. You don't really have that opportunity, or maybe you have less time to do that stuff if you don't do it until the end of the season. And it seems like DeVito is going to graduate, which Dino was proud of that, and that is cool. I think he'll always be a part of Syracuse, and it's a bummer that it ended this way. But to answer anyone's questions as to why he's doing it in the middle of the season, it seems like that's a big part of his reasoning.
Well, remember, too, I mean, this is the same thing Garrett Trader did last year. I mean,
he left mid-season,
and what happened? He could expedite that process. You get in there, you're ready to go for a spring game, too. And I know Syracuse didn't have a spring game, so it didn't mean as much for Garrett Trader. But for wherever Tommy DeVito ends up, it's going to mean something. You want to get into these situations as fast as possible, especially for him, where he's only going to have 1 year of eligibility. No matter where he goes, he's only going to have the 1 year. You want to be in that building as early as possible so that the coaching staff can start game planning for you now. They learn what your tendencies are. They learn what makes you click. And when you get in, you've got that battle going right away because Tommy DeVito is not going anywhere where he's not going to be the starter, right? And right. I'd imagine he's going to be the starter wherever he goes. I don't think this whole situation that happened at Syracuse is going to play out at his next school. I think he's going to go in and be the starter for as many games as health will allow him to be.
Yeah, it's fascinating because he's always going to be tied to Dino Babers and mostly in a negative light now because there were high hopes. And, you know, I put out something on Twitter just yesterday on our Twitter page about if you went back to 2018 and you thought, wow, we've got Tommy DeVito, we've got Taj Harris for three more years, Jarvion Howard, like Nykeem Johnson was great in that 2018 season. All those guys have transferred out. I mean, we've lost a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver who, when you were there, your senior year was the 2018 season. Mm-hmm. That was a great year. Those three guys were integral parts of that 2018 team. And here they are leaving midseason because they're basically just not in a situation to succeed. And they've completely changed the identity of their offense, which, you know, you could argue, all right, did Dino mishandle Tommy DeVito? Should he have played him in the Clemson game to kind of keep him to stick around? But it's a tough one because I do think they have Sean Tucker. He's a special back, and they've leaned into the run dominated offensive scheme because that's just the best pieces they have right now. And that's the best offense they can do with what they have.
Well, you mentioned how they're a joint at the hip, right? And I think this gets into the crux of the Tommy DeVito and Dino Babers and what their legacy is did Dino fail Tommy or did Tommy fail Dino?
I think it's more Dino failing Tommy because the offensive line, the wide receivers.
We talked about this, I want to say about 2 years ago now, and maybe even back when we were at Orange Fizz and talking about recruiting stuff there too.
Sure.
I mean, he didn't do a whole heck of a lot to beef up this offensive line to make sure that when Tommy was given the keys to the car, he was going to be held upright. You knew going in. I mean, you didn't even, this isn't a Tommy DeVito thing. This isn't any quarterback thing. You know that you need to keep your quarterback upright, okay? And I think Tommy had the talent to succeed. But
definitely,
he was getting killed game in and game out. I mean, he is the most sacked quarterback over the last 3 years in the Power Five. You think that doesn't develop some bad habits? You think that sure. doesn't create some things? You're seeing ghosts, all that stuff? That's on coaching. He mismanaged his development. He mismanaged the weapons around him, and most notably on the offensive line. This, to me, completely comes down on Dino Babers' shoulders. He failed Tommy DeVito, and that's why we're in the situation we're in right now at Syracuse University.
So I don't think it's 100% on Dino. I think it takes two to tango in the situation, because you could also say that he kind of exposed, or the offensive line struggles exposed what DeVito is as his pocket presence and his poise in the pocket. And yes, like any quarterback would struggle against a bad offensive line, but the question is this year's offensive line that has allowed a lot of pressures in the last couple games with injuries that much better than what DeVito was working with? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit better, and I think
better than what Dungy was working with.
No, like Garrett Schrader is getting the ball down the field. He's moving the ball with the offensive line as it's currently constructed.
But is he moving the ball Clemson. Passing? He's not. And I think that's the big difference. You knew that with Tommy DeVito, it was going to have to be a pass happy offense, right?
So I guess that's what I'm saying is, you know, it's a perfect storm because yes, Dino didn't put the pieces in place for DeVito, but what we also learned in this process is that if Tommy DeVito doesn't have a clean pocket, he's basically worthless. If Garrett Schrader doesn't have a clean pocket, he can get by.
Here's why I think he's, because you're right, he is worthless now with a clean pocket, but those early years, I don't think he was, because we saw him take some absolutely smashing hits those first couple of years and still get throws off and still connect down the field on some of these plays. What happened is when you get crushed 30 times a season, when you're getting sacked as many times in a season as he was, that's when you start to turtle up when guys get near you. And that's a result of not having an offensive line.
Sure.
Those first two seasons are a direct correlation of why you see Tommy DeVito the way that he is right now as a quarterback. His lack of development is because so many bad habits were created in the early portions of his development because he never had an offensive line. He was never comfortable back there in the pocket his entire time at Syracuse, except maybe those first couple of games back in 2018 when Eric Dungy would go down and DeVito would come in. He was comfortable then, but as he moved on and as guys from the offensive line graduated and left the program, that's when you started to see these bad habits develop because he was getting hit on every single play. And when that happens, I mean, you see it in the NFL too. It's one of the big reasons why some people argue against rookie quarterbacks starting is because they're going to get hit. And it's how do you respond out of that? That's why some people want rookies to sit a little bit. And while I think it's a foolish argument in the NFL, I think it's one that holds a lot of weight in college.
Yeah, and that's why he left, right? Because it's not going to get any better. Frankly, you can make a case that it took him too long to leave because I don't know why he thought this year was going to be.
Listen, nobody should be crapping on DeVito. He was a good soldier for sticking it out as long as he did. He probably should have left after Liberty. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have more. And everyone pointing the finger at him right now, you would have left after Liberty. You would have.
Yeah. So All right, well, let's put a pin in that. I have more thoughts on sort of DeVito's legacy that I want to get to in just a second. All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you guys will too. They are the leader in college sports daily fantasy right now. They offer more college football props than anyone in the entire world and offer all the players you could ever think of. You can even do Syracuse players on there, other Power Five, mid-major players, whatever it is, they have it. It's pretty easy to sign up as well. All new users that deposit right now will get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 just by using our promo code. That promo code's Locked On. Again, it gets you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Basically, how it works is you pick 2 to 5 players on an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It is just you versus the projected numbers. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So getting in more to Tommy DeVito's legacy here, because I'm glad you brought that up. He's, by all accounts, been a great teammate, and everyone
I'm
has
not
going to
lie. You've seen the tweets this week.
Yeah, so I was going to say, a lot of tweets.
We didn't see that for Jarvion. I mean, I'm just
we saw a little bit for Taj.
I mean, you saw a little bit, but this is literally everybody. It's alums of the program. I don't want to say I was surprised, but I feel like I haven't seen that from a guy who's transferring on a team midseason. I think the players also kind of realize, okay, he may have gotten a little bit of a raw deal.
Yeah, I mean, they understand. They watch football. They understand the game. They understand that this just wasn't the system that he was necessarily promised, and it just hasn't worked out. And they probably all think that he's going to be successful at his next stop, which I tend to agree with.
The glowing
if he
thing
finds that right place.
That kind of gets back to what I've been saying this whole time about his legacy and did Dino fail him? They saw the beatings he took. They saw him get crushed game after game. They saw the
injuries that we probably don't even know about, too.
Right. Yes, that's another part of it. And just to see the outpour of support for him, I don't want to say shocking because that's the wrong word for it, but it came out and it was good to see. It was like a good surprise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the way that Babers talked about him in his Monday press conference, he definitely understands that Tommy DeVito and him are tied at the hip and he's his guy and he brought him in and he probably feels bad about the situation. Just like all Syracuse fans kind of feel bad that this is how he's going to go down. But the cool thing is Babers made it clear, like, I want him to be remembered as a Syracuse guy. I want him to come back to reunions for Syracuse. He's going to graduate in December. That means something. It's not necessarily like he gave up on us, which he very easily could have done, like we said.
Right. And that's the thing is they are tied together. And Dino Babers, I mean, he may have had higher. I'd have to go back and crunch the numbers of the recruits he's brought in. He may have had guys that were higher rated than Tommy DeVito and all that stuff. Tommy DeVito is the most important recruit he's had at Syracuse because he played the quarterback position and it was supposed to be a seamless transition from when you went to Eric Dungy to Tommy DeVito. That thing split at the seams right away. And that's why this is the frustrating part for all these Syracuse fans is this was supposed to be the promised child, the guy who was supposed to start an era of sustainable success, get things back to where they were when Doug Marrone was the head coach, and it just never played out that way.
Right. So I put out a poll on our Twitter page. Should Tommy DeVito have been the starter at Virginia Tech, assuming he was still on the roster? The question was, who would you have started? Right now, about 105 votes at 15 hours into this thing. Schrader is leading the vote at 75%. Mm-hmm. DeVito right at 24.8%. So basically 25% of the vote. I'm with the leading vote getter there. I think Schrader should be the starter. And I think DeVito realized that, you know, if it wasn't Clemson, if he wasn't going to start against them, then he's looking at the rest of the schedule. Virginia Tech is a pretty tough defense, so maybe that could have been a game where Schrader gets exposed. But what we've seen so far is this Schrader run-heavy offense and Sean Tucker being the guy, it's working pretty well against
better.
These bad
no
ACC
doubt.
Defense.
And listen, I know I was on the last show advocating for Tommy DeVito to come in. I was advocating for him to come in as the relief arm, okay? I was not advocating for him to come in and play against Virginia Tech because I don't think the matchup works well. Virginia Tech's a much better passing defense. I think it would have been, had he come in and won that game for Syracuse, or led some sort of drive that brought him to overtime or whatever, had he done that, I think it would have been similar to what we saw, what happened when Eric Dungy got benched for DeVito. And what happened in that week of practice leading into NC State, ultimately it was the guy who was still the starting quarterback. But sometimes you do need that spark of energy off the bench. And I think DeVito, in that given situation, given the game plan you were running, he would have been the better quarterback to have out there. But against Virginia Tech, completely different ball game, completely different situation, completely different game plan. I think Garrett Schrader would have been the right guy. And our guy, Q Stan, was tweeting at us. He said, "I was cussing at Tyler all podcast." And I love Q Stan. He listens to the show every day. One of my favorite listeners that we have on the show. And no, I'm not just trying to sugar you up, Dan, but I do genuinely enjoy your fandom of the show. But listen, you had to go back to Garrett Schrader after, even if DeVito had come in. But you're right. Tommy had seen time and time again he was not going to see the field. I mean, just go back to that Liberty game where the helmet comes off of Garrett Schrader and they opt to use the timeout instead of put in DeVito. DeVito could have gone in and handed the ball off, right?
Right.
But they chose.
No, that sent a message timeout. For sure.
Yeah. I think that should have been the writing on the wall. That should have been the moment when Tommy should have transferred, and for him to stick it out as long as he did, I think is very commendable.
All right, so final thing on DeVito, we'll get into some of Dino's comments on his fourth down decision-making in just a little bit, which was interesting, but where does he end up now? I guess if you had to pick right now, Power 5 or a non-Power 5 school for him once he picks his next stop?
These people that are saying he's going to end up at, like, VCU, I mean, guys, get a grip, all right? I mean, these are the same people who say Joe Girard's going to go play at Siena. Like, guys,
right.
He's not a bad quarterback. He has been beaten and bruised for 3 years now, and he just has bad habits. There is going to be a coach out there that sees a big swinging arm and is going to want to bring in a Tommy DeVito for one season, okay? It's going to depend on where programs are in their quarterback situations, but, I mean, guess what? You want to talk about someone who should – and we actually talked about this about a year ago – When Garrett Schrader came in, we said, why not make the trade with Mike Leach? I mean, trade DeVito for Schrader, because that is sort of the match made in heaven
Which is funny. Imagine Schrader in the air raid offense. Like, now that we know him more, it's laughable that it's so obvious why Mike Leach made that call. But I think Schrader's good. He could never be an air raid quarterback.
He'll never be a part of that system. Meanwhile, a guy like Tommy, I think that's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I think the question now with Tommy is how quickly can he erase those bad habits, or are they just permanently there? Because it feels like he can't quite reach the potential that we once dreamed of just because he has been sort of knocked down a peg or two here. I don't know if it's Power 5 or non-Power 5. I think he ends up somewhere pretty good. I could see, like, the way that Cade Fordin is now, I think it is it USF or UCF? I think it's USF, the team that played NC State week one. Maybe a school like that is where he ends up, and he'll probably put up a lot of numbers if he's in the right situation.
Yeah, I still think he's going to go Power 5. I know his trainer mentioned that there's Power 5 interest, and Tommy, as long as there's a starting job, Tommy's going to go to a Power 5, right? At the end of the day, his goal is to go to the NFL, and getting to the Power 5 is going to be something that's going to be important, I think, for him to go up against that competition. And listen, we've seen guys lose competitions and battles and move on and have a lot of success. Like, he's going to be an elder statesman in the game by the time he gets to his next school, right? What if he ends up putting – I'm not saying he's going to reach these record-breaking levels, but that was part of the recipe for success for Joe Burrow, is that he was a graduate student. He literally could just live the football life. He essentially was a pro in his senior season, which is like what Tommy DeVito is going to be. He is essentially going to be a pro, probably taking one or two classes at whatever his next.
And I imagine that's what Kenny Pickett is doing. I mean, he's been there 8 years. So
and look at the success Pickett is having. These guys that are older just naturally are going to have more success. And I think he might play in those first couple of games and be upright for a good portion of them and say, you know what? The old Tommy DeVito is here to play. And that's what we might see play out with him.
All right, going to get to those comments that Dino made on his fourth down decision-making process in just a little bit. Want to remind you guys about Built Bar, though. They're the best-tasting protein bar out there. Actually, just got notified that the Built Bars, they came to my old address, Ty, so I got to track them down. But I'm pumped because I just
Dad's going to eat them all. He's going to eat them all again.
He's done it before, so hopefully that doesn't happen, but he just gave me the notification the other day, so I'm excited to dig into some new Built Bars. If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky, they're waxy. I know a lot of people have tried some that they don't really like. Built Bar is the complete opposite. It is soft, it is covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's honestly one of my favorite, most delicious treats out there, and it's somehow good for you. They are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So very healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. Plus, they've got some great flavors to choose from. Mint brownies out there, salted caramel, double chocolate, cherry barcia. And this month only, Built Bar is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Their website is built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That'll get you 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Hey, we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the football and basketball action this season. Head on over to their new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just got to use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive that 50% bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, so Dino Babers makes some interesting comments on his fourth down process, basically in a recent press conference. He also touched on this on a recent coaches show, too, on how, first off, I guess the initial question was, do you have someone on staff? Would you like to have someone on staff that sort of deals with analytics? And he basically just said, yes, we have someone. It's their full-time job is to understand what is the number suggesting in those type of situations. Which is interesting. I guess that provides clarity. I don't know if we ever knew that before. He didn't really say who it was, but he said that is their job, and they do that to him during the game. And then Dino basically said, sometimes I go with it. Sometimes I go with my gut on those situations, and you have right. to allow that human effect, that gut sort of influence. What were your initial thoughts on just those comments?
It made sense to me, okay, because I do think all along he's had a guy who's been like that and is in his ear with these sort of situations, has the book. Pretty much every college coach has this guy that they use. And it makes sense, right? I mean, there are numbers, there's data, follow it, but just know that different times the data changes based on what's happening in the game. Listen, the math, that guide doesn't have an answer key for what happens when your quarterback goes out, okay? It does not take into effect the players on the field. It takes into effect situations. It doesn't take into effect the fact that Sean Tucker's an All-American level back. It also doesn't take into effect that your offensive line is porous. It doesn't take into effect what the defense is on the other side. It takes situations. Yeah. It does not take in the human power of everything that's going on. And I think at the beginning of the season, he was pretty strictly following this guide. I think the evidence would suggest to go for it, especially in that Florida State game. I think the evidence would suggest to go for it in a lot of those different situations. And he saw how it kind of bit him and hurt Syracuse in some of those games early on. And now he started to go more with his gut as opposed to following the guide. And I don't want a coach who 100% goes with his gut. I don't want a coach who 100% goes with the guide. I think you need to be somewhere in the middle. And I think right now Dino's starting to, he's got like these nightmares in his head of
previous situations. He's overthinking it.
And that's what's leading to these bad decisions.
Right. And I'm totally with you. I think the way he illustrates sort of his thoughts on this, that's the correct thoughts. You shouldn't always go with the guide. And he's even said that He said on the coaches show something like, there's a chart that every coach in America has perfect for these example. Situations.
Lane Kiffin is beholden to the chart. Absolutely beholden. He's got a guy right. with a little Bible next to him of all these different situations. Okay. Whatever he says into the headset to Lane Kiffin, that's what's run. The decision is made by a guide every single time with Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin doesn't make any of those decisions. It reminds me a lot of the Kevin Cash situation in baseball. Remember the World Series?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Blake Snell is cruising. But Kevin Cash doesn't really manage. He's got decision-making guides and flow charts that dictate a lot of his decisions. And that's what went into pulling Blake Snell from the game. Now, hindsight could always be 50-50. Like, what if Blake Snell trotted out there and got shelled the next inning? Then Kevin Cash looks like an idiot for not sticking with the guide. But
yeah,
you never know. It's that Pandora's box.
I will say, it seems like when he goes with his gut, he's not succeeding right now. And that's unfortunate, but maybe it's a string of bad luck, but it is what it is.
That's why I think it is more of a string of bad luck, too, because I think the early decisions dictated what he's doing right now. And he saw the failures that happened against Florida State, and that's weighing on his brain way too much when he's making the rest of these decisions.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about that is it kind of goes back to, he always jokes, like he brought it up with Andre Schmidt the other day. He's been consistently good, not just occasionally great. Dino has just been consistently bad at time management. And when you have to make a quick decision, things have just seemed to speed up on him. And that's never been a strength. I know he's been a coach for a while. He'd be better at it than I am. I'm not saying it's easy, but I mean, he's right up there with some of the worst coaches in the country right now, in my opinion, of time management and making quick decisions. And calling the timeout before that field goal speaks to just how he had to process things and how he had to take time. And it just made no sense to call that timeout. Any other coach would have been two steps ahead.
Yeah, timeouts should be made for players, not for coaches. And what I mean by that is you call a timeout to impact something on the field that the players are doing. You don't call a timeout to buy yourself some more time to make a decision.
Right. And it goes back to the 2-point conversion play. Like, okay, you say, well, I saw that and it's, you know, the way we scored that touchdown and all the momentum. Like, what did he think? That when we scored the touchdown, the dome was going to be silent and we just weren't going to have momentum and we were going to go into the extra point, like heads down, like hoping that we would somehow force overtime.
But I'll back
of
him
course
up there
there's going to be
I think that's fine and all. Like he said that, but I think it was more the lack of sense of urgency from the players because the offense was trotting out there and they still had the 40 frozen on the play clock. You can go watch back the tape from ESPN too, and you can hear the color analysts say they're going to go for two here, and there's still like 38 seconds on that play clock.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's on Gilbert. It's on whoever's upstairs. Now, don't get me wrong. Dino has also bitten himself in the ass there by not having a timeout left.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. He also just, and we've rehashed that 2-point play, but I think you just have to make sure the players understand that there is some urgency there. I don't know how you do a better job of that, but it's probably goes back to just better communication at the start of the drive.
And listen, the offensive coaching, and Dino Babers falls under the offensive coaching umbrella here, has been piss poor this entire season. It has been, and it's cost this team games. When you're losing a three-point game, that's not coincidence. That's bad coaching. That's a trend that you have created by not having your team ready week in and week out in little facets of the game. And time management is one that has really doomed this program pretty much all season long.
Right. And he says, you know, I wouldn't have changed my decisions. I think that's the right thing to say. I don't think he should ever get behind that podium and be like, I botched, you know. In deep down, I think he understands that he has some evaluating to do on this aspect of the game. He needs
and
to be
deep
better.
Down, I mean, decision-making wise, the only one I've had a problem with is going for it on or not going for it on that 4th-and-1. The 4th-and-1 against Clemson is the only one I've taken a true exception with.
Yeah. And again, I brought it up, like Bill Belichick did the same thing and there wasn't much criticism at the NFL level because he's Bill Belichick and he's the opposite. It seems like things slow down when he needs to make those big moments and he has a history of it. So if Dino was a good, well-respected coach and a good decision maker and Andre Schmidt misses that kick, we're probably blaming the holder more than we are the coach. And unfortunately, it's
actually Just to circle back on that, have you seen the stuff that Pat McAfee, he's kind of broken this down in the past. It's not on the holder. It's actually on the snapper on that.
Okay. Play. Well, because I don't know the specifics, but however the laces went out.
Yeah. The laces weren't out. At the end of the day, it's a Bosch special teams execution there. But as a holder, it is tough to spin that football around in time where it's not going to disrupt the kicker's routine and execution of the kick.
Yeah, the operation is what I'm blaming. This is a better way of putting it.
You know how to fix those operations? Get a coach. Get a coach that is – okay, this is another thing I looked up too, okay? I started digging through programs across the country. The bottom of the barrel, okay? You know who's got a special teams coordinator? UConn. You know who's got a special teams coordinator? UMass.
You know who's got did you hear what Dino said in his presser today or Monday? He was just like, look, if coming to a theater near you, I think we're going to change that. Like something, some cliche. And he basically said,
there's FCS teams. Pretty much every FCS team in the country carries a special teams coordinator. Like, it took you this long to realize it?
And I don't know if that was a budget thing or what, because it's just sort of puzzling that he ever went that route.
I'm sorry, it cannot be a budget thing if UConn has one, if FCS programs have one. It can't be a budget thing then. You're a Power Five institution with
It shouldn't be. I agree. I just like, why do you think it was a good idea in the first place? I don't know why. But anyway, that's where we'll leave it for today's podcast. We'll be back on the Thursday episode. What are we talking about tomorrow? I guess we got to talk about Coach O, that we haven't even touched on that.
Coaching in general, like what will the coaching carousel potentially look like? We threw a poll out there. I got to say, there's some astonishing results to it. And I know Twitter polls aren't the be-all, end-all, but I can't believe there's this many people that want Dino Babers back next year. I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, they've been competitive, I guess. That's the positive this year. It's been better than last year, certainly. But all right, we'll put a pin in our conversation on football for today. We will start to preview Virginia Tech later in the week. We'll also have some thoughts on Chris Bunch's decision that's coming Thursday at 5 p.m. We're here with you every single weekday. We thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every weekday. If you want to check out another Locked On podcast, do that now for your second listen. Catch up on any of the other pods that we've had this week because it's been such a busy week. If you normally listen to two or three of our pods, maybe this is the week to actually listen to all five because there's a lot to get to this week for sure. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with you guys on Thursday.